The feral cat comes to our door almost every day now. Blotch, Sarah named him, because he's a tabby and it suits him. I scrape some leftover fish into a bowl for him and he opens his mouth and hisses. Ah, stop that now, I say. How long are you going to keep this up? Indefinitely, it seems, though in the last few weeks, Blotch has taken to stretching out across the car bonnet or on the sun-warmed flagstones beside the double doors with only wood and glass separating us. I sip my coffee and pretend not to see him, though sometimes he catches me looking at him and other times I catch him looking in at me. I have tried to be cat-like, squinting my eyes at him, and once or twice he has squinted back. You could say that we have a sort of relationship. I had a boyfriend like Blotch once. I'd be on my way to secondary school and I'd see him with his golden Labrador on the way back from a hike up to the Three Rock. He'd look at me with those green eyes and then look the other way. He would have been up there for most of the night, and even on rainy mornings I'd glimpse him heading off and away from the suburbs of Stillorgan where we lived. The first phone call came one Sunday morning. I'm going to Enniskerry this afternoon. Do you want to come? I spent the morning trying on every t-shirt that I had. Then after washing my hair with a sachet of coconut shampoo, I put a hide the blemish stick and a comb in the back pocket of my jeans and went to meet him on the wall beside the Millhouse pub. After a bus ride and a long walk, I put my platform sandal into his joined hands so he could shunt me up and over the high stone wall of a private estate in Enniskerry. The pair of us crawled through the long summer grass so we could see two black swans on a lake. Lovely as they were, I was paying more attention to his upper arm against mine. His kisses tasted like oranges, polar mints and summer rain. And he tried to teach me to swing on a rope across the river, but I wasn't very good at it in the platform sandals and preferred to watch him with his shirt off, the muscles in his tanned, narrow back as he swung up high over the water and onto the other side. He was always swinging towards and then away from me. And the more unavailable he was, the more I longed for his voice on the phone and our trips high up in the woods or through brambles and gorse to the river and our private swimming place. Sometimes we mitched off school and met up with others to drink cider beside the reservoir. And I noticed before he did how beautiful the red-haired girl was, posing in silhouette as the sun went down behind her. We were all the time looking for beauty that summer, in the land and in each other. And through him, I began to notice the way the acoustics of concrete make birdsong sound harsh and sweet when we walked and ran through the housing estates with the others. And then how the sound of birds and wind changed, became softer, more personal, when he and I climbed through the fields, woods and mountains behind our houses, the scent of honeysuckle and buttery gorse, sausages frying on an open fire, the taste of smoky tea and cider, that last day beside the river when he didn't look out for me and the barbed wire tore through the flesh of my back. And it took such a long time before I learned to wear better shoes and find my own way to the river. But here's Blotch with the feels in his eyes. He looks tired. And though some part of me longs to smooth down that bristling fur and feel his purrs vibrate through me, another part is glad that he doesn't want too much of my time and attention. He stretches out on a mat of daisies waiting to be fed, and something alert and alive within me thrums with the fierceness of his presence. I could start to gradually move his bowl a little closer to the house, but I won't.